welcome to the first in a series of three podcasts looking at NHS continuing care. Joining me today is Senior Solicitor Nicholas Endine from our community care team. Hello, Nick.
Hi.
We're going to be discussing NHS continuing healthcare in depth over three separate podcasts, each focusing on three particular areas. This podcast will be an introduction to NHS continuing healthcare, looking at what this form of funding is and the eligibility criteria. This will be followed up in the second podcast with an in-depth look at the assessment process and what the NHS are looking for when determining eligibility. In our final podcast of the series, we will be looking at what can be done if you do not agree with the decision that has been made and how to challenge this through the appeals process. All the podcasts are designed to give listeners a general overview of this complex and often emotional process. Every case is different, of course, and individual circumstances will require specific advice. And we would urge anyone listening to contact the community care team if you have a question for a no-obligation discussion. So, turning to the topic of discussion for this podcast, NHS Continuing Healthcare, or CHC, the main question that people would have is, what is it?
Well, NHS Continuing Healthcare is a package of care that is solely funded by the NHS for individuals who are no longer in hospital but still require a degree of healthcare provision. So in effect, it is NHS care continuing onwards after they've left from hospital. They have to have complex and ongoing healthcare needs as a result of an accident or disability or illness. CHC funding is overseen by the National Framework for NHS Continuing Care and NHS Funded Nursing Care 2018. 2018 was recently updated. This looks at all the rules and regulations about how the process can and should be enacted by clinical commissioning groups. In terms of the overall position, it basically means that if you can show your eligibility for CHC, then your costs, the care costs for that individual, will be met by the NHS. NHS continuing care is not means tested, meaning that any assets or savings you have are protected, and that obviously includes your home as well.
Thanks, Nick. So does someone have to be in some form of residential accommodation to be eligible for CHC funding?
No, not at all. CHC funding is irrelevant as to where that person is living. It's non-discriminatory in that sense. If you are living in a care home, then the NHS will pay for your care home fees. But if you are living in your own home, then they will pay for the domiciliary care that's coming in to meet your needs in that setting instead.
Okay, and how would someone know whether to apply for it themselves or for a family member?
All applications are done on behalf of the patient themselves, but as you perhaps can allude to with some certain circumstances, that person may not be able to do it themselves, maybe through a mental capacity issues. So you could be looking for the attorney, if one's been appointed by the patient, or a court-appointed deputy to make a relevant application. If there isn't a court-appointed deputy or attorney in place, then a relative can make the application on behalf of the patient in their best interests. Equally, if there is a property and financial affair, lasting power of attorney or deputy in place, then they have a fiduciary duty to make sure that all potential state funding is being claimed. Ultimately, however, when a clinical commissioning group assess someone for NHS continuing care, they're looking to determine whether that person demonstrates what's known as a primary health need.
Could you explain what's meant by a primary health need? Is this the legal test to determine eligibility?
Yes, the governing principles, if you like, of NHS continuing healthcare is what's known as the National Framework, and they came into effect as a result of quite two famous healthcare cases, Coughlin and Grogan. The test, therefore, that arose and is now enshrined in the framework specifies that someone would be eligible for NHS continuing care if the care in which provided goes beyond nursing care, which is merely incidental to the ancillary to the provision of accommodation that local social services wouldn't be expected could be expected to provide.
Are there any specific health conditions that could potentially attract CHC funding?
This is always a good question, and actually quite a common question that we get asked. There is no specific diagnosis that you can come to with the CCG to tell to be eligible for CHC funding. Now, obviously, people have varying degrees of need, and essentially that's what's taken into account when assessing someone for this funding. It's not what they have, if you like, it's the level of need that they require as a result of that disability or illness. The only exception is if someone presents with a rapidly deteriorating condition, they can apply for what's called fast track funding, which is basically NHS continuing care, but you are streamlined through the process quicker, provided you have this rapidly deteriorating condition, and that's evidenced with medical professionals. You'll get funding significantly quicker.
Who decides whether someone has a primary health need, and how do they do this?
As kind of alluded to, the public body that looks at all this is the Clinical Commissioning Group, or CCG. They are what was the Primary Care Trust, which people may have heard of before government changes. They're responsible for determining eligibility within their particular jurisdiction and local area. It's a two-stage test. They first look at 12 care domains before looking at what's called key indicators, which we'll discuss in another podcast. The first step that they do is what's called the checklist assessment, which acts as a screening tool for all claims. The second stage is the multidisciplinary team meeting. You get this stage providing you pass the checklist stage. During the multidisciplinary team, or MDT, meeting, they complete what's called the decision support tool, which then looks at those 12 care domains. Look at the 12 care domains that I just mentioned, and the key indicators. There'll be more details about that in the next podcast, and we'll go into a bit more detail then.
Is it possible to make a claim for care that's already been provided?
Yes, you can. It's known as a retrospective review. Previously unassessed periods of care can be looked at for particular periods of time. And in doing so, the Clinical Commissioning Group will look at medical records, family comments, and so forth, to be able to do the same test that they would do for a current review, but for a period in the past. If found eligible, then the Clinical Commissioning Group will refund the care fees, or care home fees or care fees that were paid during that time, plus interest based on the RPI at the time. Now, there are some cut-off points that people need to be aware of. Care provided between the 1st of April 2004 to the 31st of March 2011 was subject to a cut-off date for notification to the CCG, that is, of the 30th of September 2012, and then followed that up with care provided between the 1st of April 2011 to the 31st of March 2012 was subject to a notification deadline of the 31st of March 2013. Therefore, it means if you are looking to claim anything prior to that date, CCG will only look back as far as the 1st of April 2012.
Great, thanks Nick. That's been really helpful and informative. Our next podcast in this series will look in more detail at the two-stage assessment process that Nick has mentioned and how the decision on eligibility is reached. If you think that a loved one may be eligible for NHS continuing care, please contact Nick or anyone in our community care team via the website or using the contact details on the screen. They will guide you on the prospects of making a successful claim and offer a free initial assessment at any stage of the process. I would like to thank Nick for joining us today and hope that you can join us for the next podcast.